Happy Sabbath, dear ones. Big hugs to one and all. I called the ISP to figure out why there's lag on during our service from my end, and they couldn't figure out what the problem was other than the modem was outdated by several updates. So they updated it all, but it comes down to the amount of devices using the upload, not the download, the upload. So we have most all of our devices turned off so that the only upload is going to be during this chat room. So we'll see if that clears up the lag that has been bothering our services for, oh, ever since we had that big power outage like 3 weeks ago. So we shall see. But happy Sabbath, dear ones, and welcome to our Friday evening church service on this 14th day of March 2025. Welcome to those, and happy Sabbath to all who are joining us on the phone, those who are listening to the recording, and those that are here in the room. And praise God for bringing us safely through another week. Our opening song is titled, A Shelter in the Time of Storm. And we really need to run into that shelter of Jesus Christ under his wings, right? That we might indeed be hid in him. The Lord's our rock, in him we hide, a shelter in the time of storm. Secure whatever may betide, a shelter in the time of storm. Mighty rock in a weary land, cooling shade on the burning sand. Faithful guide for the pilgrim band, a shelter in the time of storm.
A shade by day, defense by night, a shelter in the time of storm. No fears alarm, no foes affright, a shelter in the time of storm. Mighty rock in a weary land, cooling shade on the burning sand, faithful guide for the pilgrim band, a shelter in the time of storm.
The raging storms may round us be, a shelter in the time of storm. We'll never leave our safe retreat, a shelter in the time of storm. Mighty rock in a weary land, cooling shade on the burning sand. Faithful guide for the pilgrim band, a shelter in the time of storm.
O rock, Divine, O refuge dear, a shelter in the time of storm. Be thou our helper ever near, a shelter in the time of storm. Mighty rock in a weary land, cooling shade on the burning sand, faithful guide for the pilgrim band, a shelter in the time of storm.
Amen. And thank you, Savior, for being our shelter, our mighty rock, our mighty fortress. Thank you for being the God that we can indeed trust in. Well, dear ones, please join with me for opening prayer. Precious Father, thank you so very much for thy merciful kindness, thy watchful care, your tender mercy, the blessings you bestow upon us, the answers to our prayers. Thank you that you're in control of all things. Thank you that the devil's a defeated foe. And thank you that we're a day closer to getting off of this wicked world. We meet here in the name of Jesus, and we pray, dear Father, that your presence, the presence of our Savior and the Holy Spirit, will be abiding guests with each listening heart. Savior, we plead with thee to dispel darkness in our hearts with the bright beams of your righteousness and truth. We pray, dear Spirit, that you will be our teacher, our guide, our instructor into all truth, that you will reprove and correct us where we may be believing incorrectly. And please let us see that straight, clear, narrow, upward path that leads to eternal life. We want to be set free. And the truth is what indeed sets us free. So thank you for doing so. Father, we also pray that you'll be with those who have requested special prayer, such as Brother Rodolfo's daughter, Raquel. Pray that you will take her case in your hands, that you will, through the great physician Jesus, bring about healing relief, whether mental, physical, or spiritual. And we thank you for taking her case in thy hands and the cases of all others who have requested special prayer. Thank you that we can indeed come to you through Jesus at any time of need. Thank you for being such a wonderful Father. And thank you, Savior, for being such a wonderful deliverer and physician. We also thank you that the truth is indeed spreading around the world, filling more and more, reaching a greater audience, and more decisions are being made today than yesterday. Thank you that we're closer to heaven, and help us to get ourselves ready. So we thank you for allowing us to gather together, and for being with us. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.
Sorry about my squeaky chair. I'll have to oil that so it doesn't sound off when I move back and forth. So now we come into the homework that we had regarding researching out in the Bible or Spirit of Prophecy as to how many characters or just one character there is to the Godhead.
Have any of you found any definitive answer for that question? Please go right ahead.
Yeah, so I have mainly from the Bible, actually, just bringing out the concept of your question. But perhaps you might want to go first, as you were the one that put the question out, so that we can perhaps understand you more as the questioner in finding any answers to it.
If you found a definitive answer, go right ahead, brother, and then we'll open it up to others that may have done the research as well.
Yeah, so when you asked the question last week, I was slightly confused at first, because I thought God is love, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, there, God, there, love. So I thought that's the end of the study. But I'll share screen, bring it up. And okay. Okay, can you see my screen? Can you see my screen? Oh, good. That's a bonus. Great. All right, so we don't have to read all this, but just wanted to make a point here. So Exodus 23:21, we have... my understanding is this is the Father. Beware of him and obey his voice. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgressions. For my name, character, is in him. And that him being the messenger in verse 20, which is angel in capital A for the I am that appeared to Moses in the burning bush. Then we have this statement made by the I Am himself in Exodus 34 verses 5 to 7. It says, and the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord, the character of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and to the fourth generation. Exodus 34 verses 5 to 7. So that's the I am speaking of the character of God, and the character of God said to be in the I am from the Father in Exodus 23. Then we have this statement. God who, this is from Hebrews 1:1-3. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. That's very interesting, isn't it? Because we know it was the I am that was speaking through the prophets, generally speaking. There are times when the Father and the Spirit break through specifically in the Old Testament. Hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. And what is this Son like? Who being the brightness of his glory, the Father's, an express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Hebrews 1:1-3. Now, here's an interesting statement from the Old Testament. Who is the Lord? This is from Deuteronomy 6:4-5. We're told, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Now, we understand this to be coming from the I am, but it's also from the I am and the Father. Jesus said, and Jesus answered, this is from Mark 12:29-30, and Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. So he's referring that to the Father, but it also was himself in Deuteronomy chapter 6. And thou shalt, and then here's another quote, finishing the quote, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. Mark 12:29-30. I'm seeing some chat. I don't know if I have to. Oh, happy Sabbath, everyone. Yes, that's always good to hear. Oh, okay. Sorry. I'm talking too quickly. Okay. Thank you for the, warning. Thank you for that. We're told by Jesus himself in John 15:10, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Now, we often think commandments with, there's a lot of commandments in the Bible, that's true, but the main one that we think of, you know, the morally binding one, is the Ten Commandments. So I can see here that the Father is mentioned in the Ten Commandments specifically. But how do we know that? First of all, we know the Father was with the Son when the Ten Commandments were written, and there's even one quote in the Spirit of Prophecy where it says that the Father spoke the Ten Commandments with the Son. But even if you see that differently, the Father was with the Son, and the Father was not shocked to hear that when Jesus said, thou shalt have no other gods before me, because the Father's God as well, but he's not reacting to that, because it's deity, it's attributes, it's what we have come. Let's say, so I'm still talking quickly. Okay, so thank you for that. So Exodus 17, verse 2, we're told, wherefore do ye tempt the Lord? That was what Moses said to the children of Israel when they were murmuring. And Jesus used this very quote when he said to Satan, Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Now we know that when Moses said that in Exodus 17, verse 2, that was the I am. But Jesus uses it for the Father here, Matthew 4, verse 7. This is not surprising to any of you, I'm sure, but it's just to show the reality that the term God, I mean, but you'll never find in the Spirit of Prophecy deities in the plural used. It is used for the heathen, but it's not used for the Godhead or deity, because Godhead means deity in the Bible. So my answer to the character, is God... is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I think the Bob's question was, are they distinct characters? But I got from the question, are they different in character? And, of course, as I shared last week and you're all aware of, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit do play different roles in the plan of our redemption. But each are love from eternity past. Each is love right now. And each is love in eternity beyond. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, brother. Yeah, I think I was more the statement or the idea had been put forth that there's only one character to deity, to the Godhead. And so the homework that I was suggesting that we have is to see if there's any definitive answer as to whether there's just one character to the Godhead or if there's more. And I think you answered that part from your understanding is that God is love. God is one. The deity represents the Godhead, and the Father, Son, and Spirit are deity, not three separate deities, but one deity, and thus one character, which is love. Is that a correct understanding of what you believe, dear brother?
Yeah, I think that's roughly, I mean, there's a lot more I could share that I've written down over just for notes just this week, just that very Sabbath, because of some of the things you specifically said, which I'm really grateful for, because when, you know, others share their thoughts and feelings, we're not going to know what you're thinking or where you're coming from unless you share them. Like I thought about something you said in response to Michael about you know, Ellen White was careful to be, you know, she's trying to not break up the community, but she had a long time to set us straight if there were three gods or three deities. She could have said that. A lot of pioneers died before she did. It's kind of like the daily, but she didn't actually know what the daily was, which she specifically says. But I think what I gather from that is that there's only the attributes of deity. To be more specific, the attributes of deity only three have. If there was different deities, then that would be a different substance. That would be a different character. And that's what I don't think the Bible teaches. And I don't think you're teaching it. So for instance, you mentioned that just because it's not said, it doesn't mean that that's not what she meant. Well, that's what Trinitarians use, because with the Bible Spirit of Prophecy, they'll say argument from silence is still there. It doesn't mention Trinity, but that's what it means. That's kind of how you're sounding. It doesn't say three gods, but that's what she means. So, and that's, you know, it's not a strong argument. You have to have a thus saith the Lord. So I would say the Bible's teaching the deity it's talking about the attributes of deity, of course, love being one of them. So it's the kind of deity we're dealing with. You know, they had many false deities around the world, they still do, that they come to love and worship, etc. But the attributes, including the love factor, is what the deity represents. So, yeah, I'll leave it there.
Thank you, dear brother. Are there any others that have done some homework on this particular issue and would like to present it? Please go right ahead. Well, I did some homework, and I'd like to present it here. On this particular issue of the character of deity, I was able to find a definitive answer. And it's from the Spirit of Prophecy. It's Manuscript Release, Volume 6, page 389. This is taken from Manuscript 45 of May 14, 1904. And it says here, there is to be the imprint of the sacred name, baptizing the believers in the name of the threefold powers in the heavenly world. The human mind is impressed in this ceremony, referring to baptism, the beginning of the Christian life. It means very much. The work of salvation is not a small matter, but so vast that the highest authorities are taken hold of by the expressed faith of the human agency. The three great and glorious heavenly characters are present on the occasion of baptism. All the human capabilities are to be henceforth consecrated powers to do service to God in representing the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost upon whom they depend. All heaven is represented by these three in covenant relation with the new life. So here we have a definitive answer to the question regarding the character of deity in the Godhead. There's three glorious, great, heavenly characters. So this means that the Father, the Son, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit have their own character. So this reveals that the Godhead is composed of not just one character of deity that each of the three share in or have, but three distinct characters. So this would infer that each are their own deity that is distinct from the other two, thereby showing that there's three distinct deities or gods in the Godhead, and not just one deity or God. So, yes, each of them manifest the attribute of love, but each have their own character, just as each person has their own character. Now, it was suggested last time that Jesus Christ, when he was human, did not have his own character distinct from the Father, because Christ perfectly revealed only the Father's character while on the earth. And this suggestion was then used to support the idea that there's just one character of deity which the three in the Godhead each have. Oh, we'll definitely keep that in prayer, dear brother. And may God be with you and protect you. So we find in the scriptures in Matthew 11:27 that all things are delivered unto me of my Father. Christ is speaking this. And no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father, save or except the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. So this verse reveals to us that even while Jesus, the Son of God, was on this earth, his own disciples did not know the Son himself, because Jesus only revealed the Father to them. So this shows us that Jesus himself has his own character that is distinct from the character of the Father. But while on earth, Jesus only revealed the character of the Father to others. So the Godhead is composed of three persons, three holy beings, and each have their own character, three holy characters, not just one. So that's what I was able to discover on that particular subject that we were dealing with. So we do have a definitive answer, and that's inspired from the spirit of prophecy. Yeah, just one second.
Could I make a statement on? Thank you for sharing that, bro. Would you be able to put that up? What you just shared? Okay. Would you be able to go to the start? Thank you. So mentions the baptizing the believers in the name, in the character. That word is character. So the threefold powers in the heavenly world. So, of course, personalities have character, but that character is love. It's the same. Now, you mentioned, if you could go to the next one.
The next one okay. So the sacred name, you're saying, is character, sacred character.
So the baptizing the believers in the name of the threefold powers. The name is in singular. So that's character.
Okay.
That's from Matthew 28:20.
So when it says the three great and glorious heavenly characters,
that's referring. There's three persons or beings in the Godhead. So that, and what's the character? That's what I thought your question was. The character is love. So the fact that if you know, you mentioned the last quote you just provided. I definitely disagree that this is definitive that there's three gods, because otherwise you'd be able to show that from the spirit of prophecy and the Bible. But you mentioned the the Son could only reveal the Father. So the Son, what did anyone know about God in the first place from the Old Testament? Did it come from the Father? No, it only came from the Son. So they only had any knowledge from the Son of anything from the Father in the Old Testament times, so 4,000 years, and then the New Testament times. So that's always been. That's not any revelation in humanity. That was like that as God in the Old Testament and in the New in human flesh.
Well, dear brother, it's not my position to try and convince you. I'm sharing with you the information that I was able to find from homework. And it does have a definitive answer regarding whether there's just one character to the Godhead or three. So I'll leave that with you to ponder on. But that's what I was able to discover.
Thank you for taking the time to do that. I guess like the other attributes of deity, it's no less. It's not a different kind of omnipotence. It's not a different kind of omnipresence. It's not a different kind of omniscience that the deity has, that the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So it's not a different kind of character they have. So when the Son reveals himself, it's different in the sense it's the Son revealing it, but that character is no different than the love of the Father. So I guess that's the point.
Okay. It was also brought forth last time that the deity that was connected with the first commandment could only be one deity, no more. Because if it was more than one deity or more than one God, it would be confusing people regarding the first commandment that says the Lord our God is one Lord. So I spent some time in this particular subject and I discovered that the Hebrew word for deity is Eloah, and that's from Strong's Hebrew Exhaustive Concordance, word number 433. And this word translates and means a deity or the deity, God. So Eloah means a singular deity or one God. So then I went to Exodus 20 verses 2 and 3 and Deuteronomy 6, 4, dealing with the first commandment. And Exodus 20 verses 2 and 3 says, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. And Deuteronomy 6, 4, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. So I looked up the word Lord, and it's the same word in both of these passages, and it's Yehovah, Strong's word number 3068. And Yehovah translates and means self-existent or eternal. Okay. I looked up the word God in both verses, and in both verses the word God is the same. It is Elohim, or Elohim, right? That's Strong's word number 430. Now, Elohim is the plural form of Eloah. This means that Elohim does not mean just one deity, Eloah, but it's the plural of Eloah, meaning deities or gods. That's Elohim. So this reveals that the word God used in both Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 6 dealing with the first commandment is not a singular deity, but more than just one deity. Or in other words, more than just one God. Because Elohim means the plural of Eloah. So it means deities or gods. Now this same word Elohim is used for God in Genesis 1:1. So in the beginning, God's Elohim, not God Eloah. In the beginning, God's created the heaven and the earth. So again, it's not just one God or deity that was involved in creation of this earth, but gods or deities, more than one, were involved. So with this correct understanding of what Eloah means and what Elohim means, then the Lord thy God in Exodus 22 reads, the self-existent thy deities, or the eternal thy gods. And the Lord our God in Deuteronomy 6:4 reads, the self-existent our deities, or the eternal our gods. So then, since these verses translate that there's more than just one deity or just one God involved in creation and also connected with the first commandment, then how are we to understand that God is one Lord? So then I looked up the word for one that's used in Deuteronomy 6:4, and it's akkad. That's Strong's word number 259. And akkad translates and means united, one. So this shows us that instead of the word one meaning singular to the exclusion of any others, it instead means united as one. Now, united occurs when more than just one come together in unity. Not just one, but more than one united together. So then with this correct understanding, the Lord thy God is one Lord in Deuteronomy 6:4 reads, the self-existent thy deities united as one eternal, or the eternal thy gods united as one self-existent. So this shows us that there is more than just one deity or just one God in the Godhead. And since we know from inspiration that there are three characters in the Godhead, then we know that there are three deities or three gods and not just one deity or one God in the Godhead. Now I leave that with you to research out, to look more into, to pray about, but I'm just revealing what my homework showed me. Are there any others that have done the homework in this particular issue? Please feel free.
If no one's going to say something, can I just ask the question? And thank you for sharing that, dear bro. When Jesus says, I have kept my Father's commandments, do you think he's talking about the Ten Commandments?
Oh, yes.
Amen. So when it says, thou shalt have no other gods before me, Jesus is saying deity, isn't he? He's talking about, it's not just Jesus, it's the Father, it's the Holy Spirit because Father's God.
I've always looked at that as the so-called gods on this earth. Thou shalt have no other gods on this earth before me. Not gods in heaven before me. That would be getting into Trinitarianism, where there's just one God, but three people making up that one God. Or three people composing that one God or partaking in that one God. And since God can mean deity, then saying there's just one deity, but three people in deity, that's Trinity.
So that's the second commandment, Michelle. We're talking about the first one. So in the Bible, you find that he's the God not only of earth, but of heaven. And we know that involves the Father. We know the Father spoke the Ten Commandments with Jesus, the Spirit of Prophecy states. So, I mean, I see your human construct in it. If one doesn't believe there's three gods, therefore you might be a Trinitarian, a Unitarian, of which I'm neither of them. But following the scriptures, I appreciate you spending the time and letting me talk, and thank you for sharing your views. I am not convinced there's three gods, but deity, that three beings, separate and distinct, but united with the same attributes that each have. But I appreciate you sharing and letting me.
Thank you, brother. Again, it's not my position to try and convince you. It's just my position to share what I've been able to discover in my research on this and then leave that with you.
So can I just finish off by saying, just to doubly be sure, when Jesus said, I've kept my Father's commandments, it means the Ten Commandments, but it doesn't mean it because it's only talking about Jesus in the first commandment. Is that what you're saying?
No, I believe it means the Ten Commandments. As far as the rest of what you said, I'd have to think about that.
Copy that. Thank you.
Are there any other comments, any other thoughts, anything else that individuals would like to bring forth? Please feel free.
Okay, I just want to, I've got a thought here. A minute. Okay, Brother James, when a king, okay, I'm trying, I have this in my head, and I'm trying to bring it out as best as I can. A king, okay, has a son, okay? Would that son not also be royalty in that family? The king, and when the son talks to his father, that's two people. And then when the king has another son, that's three. And when they talk to each other, they're friends, but they're also unified in what they're doing. So I hope I brought that across. It was in my head. A king has a son. That son is a prince. And he has another son. It's another prince. They're three in the same family. And so this is kind of what I'm bringing across. They would be in unity with each other. So I'm trying to understand that's two people, there's three people in that family. And if they're unified in what they're doing, that's three in that family, in unity with each other. So that's my thought. So, but anyway, that's what I was trying to get across. So if, how can you have only two if there's just three in the family? That's.
Oh, I'm sorry. I see where you're going with this. No, we've been talking about focusing on the Father and Son because of last week's comment. So the Holy Spirit is God. That's the end of the conversation. the Holy Spirit is no less God than the Father or the Son. Yeah. We mentioned last week, Ephesians 4:8, the term for God, there is one God. Now that term's actually used for Jesus as well in the New Testament. You know, when Thomas bows down, he says, thou art my Lord and God. It's number 23:16 in the Greek concordance. So you see there it says a superior divinity. I want you to remember that in relation to what we've talked about today, because it's not a one-way street. And yet they all play a different role. It's beautiful, the different role, and yet they're unified in it with the attributes that they each have, which is infinite. If I was a Trinitarian, that means they've got to rely on one another for their existence. They're not original. They're not unborrowed. They're not underived, but that's not biblical.
One thing that I find quite interesting is that when you look at the major religious groups, whether Christian, whether spiritualistic, whether pagan, they all have this idea of there being just one God. Even Hinduism, that has 330 million different gods, believe that everything derived from just one deity who divided themselves into this multiplicity of gods. They got that concept from Babylon. Babylon believed in just one deity who then manifested himself as a male, who then split off a female from himself, and they united sexually and gave birth to a third deity. That's where we get the Trinity from, right? So when you look at all the different religions throughout the world, the common theme among them all is there's one God. Whether they believe in Trinity being one God, whether they believe in Allah being that one God, whether they believe in the Father being that one God, you still have that common thread. They may differ as to how that one God is manifested in three, or how the three make up the one, or how the three are separate, but there's just one. They may differ in all of that definition, but the common thread is there's just one. And that to me is significant. You can have individuals from paganism, from spiritualism, from Christianity, all agreeing that there's just one deity, one God, one supreme being, one universal mind. That's significant. And this particular statement here, I believe, shows one of the reasons why it's significant. We know Catholicism adopted paganism all the way back to Mystery Babylon, right? This is what the Catholic Church states. This is the Catholic faith. that we worship one God. Now, the rest of the Christian religions would agree with that, right? The rest of the pagan religions would agree with that. The rest of the spiritualistic religion would agree with that. Okay. But the Catholic faith is that we worship one God in Trinity and Trinity in unity. So the Father is God, the Son is God, and the Holy Ghost is God, and yet there are not three gods, but one God. So we are forbidden by the Catholic religion to say there are three gods or three lords. He therefore that will be saved must thus think of the Trinity. So we have the greatest apostate church of all saying we're forbidden to say there's three gods. There's only one God. You have the Muslims, which are the second biggest religion in the world, saying there's only one God. You have spiritualistic individuals. You have Babylonian individuals. You have pagan individuals. You have New Age individuals, all stating there's only one God. And it's forbidden to say there's three gods. To me, that is significant. Why is it forbidden? No. No, dear brother. This is not where I got it from. But it is significant in my mind. So.
Yeah, I was just about to say, the reason I ask that, because it's not in the New Testament or the Old, in our English translations. So I guess that was your, that's probably your point. They've always got it wrong.
No, my point was, the greatest apostate church there's ever been says there's only one God and not three. That's my point.
Yeah, not just relating to the Catholic Church, but I meant throughout the English translation only came after its existence anyway. So I guess it's indirectly related. But yeah, I hear what you're saying. But you know, you've mentioned, because I've heard you share this before, you believe that ultimately it's just one God that all the other gods come from. I think you believe that you've got good proof from your Babylon to prove that. But when you investigate not only Babylon but other organizations, belief systems, it's quite clear they do believe in more than one God. But the thing is, it's always of a different character, a different substance. You know, there's the weaker God, the God of the hills, the God of the sea, the God of the, you know, the thunder, Thor. And so that can be an issue when you take on the idea and belief that the term three gods is biblical, because that's immediately what a Christian and non-Christian is going to think, that they're very much different substance, different character. No one denies what you brought out, that one quote, that they're three characters because three personalities. You see, you'd expect there's three characters, but the question is, what kind of character is it? And we all know that, of course, is eternal love. But the pagans don't seem to have. Well, I mean, here's a challenge to us all. Can anyone find anywhere in any of the pagan writings and their beliefs the belief that three beings have the same attributes, which we call in the Bible deity? Can anyone find that, where the three that these three beings have the same attributes, which is called deity, omniscience, omnipresence, omnipotence, and omnibenevolence, which is, you know, eternal love or loving? Now, maybe someone has found it, but I haven't, and if you have, I'd really be interested to see that, but that's what I understand stands out about the Bible Godhead or deity.
Are there any other comments or thoughts on this subject, dear ones? Well, it looks like our time has been taken up on this particular issue. And hopefully there has been enough information brought forth to warrant further study. Again, I praise God for the spirit of prophecy that is in harmony with the scriptures on every point. And I thank him for the definitive answer to this question regarding how many character or characters there are to the Godhead. We have the freedom to interpret what is inspired for ourselves. We don't have to take the interpretation of one and accept it as 100% fact. And thus, each one is held responsible for how they interpret things. Praise God for the Spirit to lead and guide into all truth. And I pray that God will indeed lead and guide each one into all truth. And next time, we'll pick it back up in Prophets and Kings, chapter 31, Hope for the Heathen. At the bottom of page 375. Are there any other comments that people would like to make on this particular issue? Brother James has asked a lot of questions. Are there any others here that have questions or comments that you would like to make? Please go right ahead.
Okay, when you talk about character of God, what I think of is when God revealed his character to Moses. Is that what you're basically talking about as character? Because it was more than just love. It was, I can't remember all of his character, but so that's what we're basically talking about. Am I correct?
Yeah, you're right. I just read that a little earlier. The attributes of love are brought out specifically what that love is, forgiving iniquity, transgression, and sin, and by no means clearing the guilty. That's why, I mean, when I read Matthew 28, verse 18, where it says, verse 19, go there, ye therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name, singular, character of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. Bob's found one place in the Spirit of Prophecy where she says characters. And she actually uses before that, I saw he's got dot, 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 but he's not hiding anything. At least he put it there. He got dot, dot, dot. But previous to that, she actually is quoting this, which tells me strongly, obviously, we should prove the spirit of prophecy by the Bible and not the other way around.
So are you saying that there is a difference between the spirit of prophecy saying one thing and the Bible saying one thing?
So God says to the law and to the testimony, that existed thousands of years before the spirit of prophecy. I know you know this. I'm not saying this like you don't know it. And same with the New Testament times and throughout the thousands of years before we had the privilege of the modern gift of the spirit of prophecy. So the spirit of prophecy states that we should get all our doctrines from the Bible. And in saying that, it's the same Holy Spirit that would have said that, because the law and the testimony, which most people have had for almost 6,000 years before the manifestation of the Spirit, the gift of the Spirit of prophecy, has been manifested in written form for us to use today, which is non-canonical. So yes, the both do, would agree with one another, and I don't think it contradicts. That's what I was trying to say. I don't think that contradicts that she uses the term, because she actually quotes from, well, partially from Matthew 28:19, talking about the character of the Godhead. And that's just one spot. I'm sure she has a lot to say just on one verse. But that's where Trinitarian would say, see, there you go, see, there you have it. And we get where they're coming from, but it's a misunderstanding of what Trinity means. Once you realize, oh, Trinity actually means the attributes rely upon one another to exist, then we've got problems, because there's not original, unborrowed, underived deity. It's actually, you know, if I'm without you, I'm dead. I mean, in a spiritual way, that was true if Jesus lost the battle against sin. But yeah, absolutely. The Spirit of Prophecy has the same author, but we should prove the truth of the Spirit of Prophecy by the Bible and not the other way around. I know that might sound, that, can you not see, you know, in the world, you can't use the Spirit of Prophecy. Well, not for authority, but for believers you can. Do you know what I mean? I'm not putting it down, but I'm just stating the fact that, and there's a lot more we can use from the Spirit of Prophecy on so many topics. This is more than a messenger she was. But we have to ultimately get it from the law and the testimony, as in the Ten Commandments and the gospel revealed in the Ten Commandments, in the 66 books of the Bible. That's how we prove. That sounds like I believe there's mistakes in the Spirit of Prophecy. Well, no prophet was perfect, but when under inspiration, what comes out and what was written down by the help of the Holy Spirit is the Word of God. Okay, so we've got a question. I don't know if it's to me. Let me.
Yeah, thank you, brother. It's just, I look at the Spirit of Prophecy as a safeguard to correctly interpret the Scripture. So if you have a particular view of Scripture, and you take that view to the Spirit of Prophecy, and the Spirit of Prophecy says something different, then your interpretation, your view of that Scripture is in error. It's not correct. So yes, we get the doctrine from the Scripture, but the Spirit of Prophecy enables us to correctly interpret or correctly understand the Scripture. I've had individuals, and I'm not saying you're one of them, right? I have individuals that have come to me saying there's only one God, and Jesus is not God, only the Father is God. And they have all kinds of scriptural proof they think backs up that statement. But when the Spirit of Prophecy is brought into the mix, and the Spirit of Prophecy says Jesus is a God, Jesus is deity, Jesus is the mighty God, that's, you know, Scripture, they're stuck with either admitting that their interpretation of Scripture is wrong, or that something has happened in the Spirit of Prophecy for those words that Jesus is God, other than God the Father, to be there. So the tendency is to throw out the Spirit of Prophecy by claiming she's in error, she didn't know what she was talking about, someone's manipulated her writings, because she never would have said that if she understood the Scripture. So you have individuals basing their doctrinal position on the Scripture, but it's out of harmony with the Spirit of Prophecy. And since it's the same author, then it's the interpretation you have that's in error. It's not the Spirit of Prophecy that's in error. So this idea that there's one character to the Godhead, the Spirit of Prophecy says there's three characters to the Godhead. So what do we do with that interpretation?
That simple. There's three personalities, so they would have three characters. And what's their character? It's the Son. that they play different roles in the plan of redemption. Your question's a good one, Susan. So omnipotence, omnipresence, omnibenevolence, and omniscience created three habit. So we're not denying that three beings have it. That's why it says let us. And very interestingly too, this is probably something you've all noticed. In Genesis 1, you have God represented and he's talking to at least another being. I mean, the Holy Spirit's mentioned by hovering on the face of the waters. And yet in Genesis 3, when sin enters, it's not the Father, but we don't get told that. It just mentions the same word. It's Elohim, but it's not three beings talking to Adam and Eve. It's not like an echo. It's the Son, the one that mediates between humanity and the Father, so that the Adam and Eve didn't die that day when they committed sin, because a ransom's been found, or it's been prepared if this dilemma should happen. You know, the point you mentioned there, Brother Bob, it made me think of something too, because I noticed this happens a lot. You mentioned that the Bible, because I know you're thinking of some quotes from the Spirit of Prophecy, that it's there to correct misunderstandings of the Bible. But many people get misunderstandings from the Spirit of Prophecy, what they think it's saying and what it's not saying. You know, for instance, I gather from your study, you're getting the conclusion, oh, there's definitely three gods because she says they've got characters and that's enough for me. It wouldn't be just so much easier if she just had said it. There's so many different ways she could have said it. Three deities, three gods. She could have slipped it in, you know, file Z, read this after I'm dead. You know, little things like that, but she never did that. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, just chucking that in. That was a real file, by the way, a Z file, and then it came out in the public. I sense from last week, and I'm really glad we have conversations like this, because Brother Michael's comment was very important, because it's very easy. It's things like this that stop us from working together, uniting together. But I think what it brought out was the reality that I understand why you pursue what you do, even though you haven't got the three gods in the Bible or Spirit of Prophecy. And that's my understanding, and correct me if I'm wrong. You're trying to defend the fact that Jesus is God, you know, in the fullest sense, you know, with all the attributes that come under the term deity. And same with the Holy Spirit, because how many people are denying both of them? And they're so misguided, whether they're using the Bible, whether they're using the Spirit of Prophecy. But there's a lot more, because of the sheer amount of Spirit of Prophecy, there's a lot more you can get wrong there, I guess, from a numerical point of view, because of the sheer amount of written material there and repetitiveness than you can with the Bible. But that's just an interesting side note for me. But did that make sense, Sister Susan? I guess what I'm trying to say is three gods is not necessary to create. There's only one description of deity that three have, and omnipotence, omnipresence, omnibenevolence, and omniscience created. There's no question. And it's sustaining us as we speak.
Thank you. You still have the Hebrew words Eloah, meaning a deity, single, and Elohim being the plural of deity, more than one. But the Spirit is the one who convicts and converts. We'll leave it at that. Any testimony? Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I just have this one thing. Okay. In the beginning, it says God created the heaven and the earth. If there was only one God, then this earth would not have gotten created. That's my thought.
So there's that's the good question, because there's another good place. Find that in the Spirit of Prophecy. In the beginning, gods created the heaven and the earth. That'll be a telling one. She's a very studious to avoid such terminology. But sis, what I'm saying, you mentioned if one only created that, doesn't make sense. But omnipotence, omnipresence, omnibenevolence, and omniscience did create it. and three beings have it, which the rest of the Genesis narrative bring out.
Yes, but Scripture says it was Elohim, more than one deity, that created, not Eloah, which is single deity. But we're just going in circles. Dear brother, we're going in circles. Let's just leave it at that. Thank you.
Okay, Matt. Sure thing.
Are there any testimonies? Are there any prayer requests? Are there any songs that you would like to sing or songs that you request to be sung? Please go right ahead. Here's a particular hymn that each one needs to know for themselves. I know not why God's wondrous grace to me he has made known, nor why unworthy Christ in love redeemed me for his own. But I know whom I have believed in, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day.
I know not how this saving faith to me he did impart, nor how believing in his word wrought peace within my heart. But I know whom I have believed in, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day.
I know not how the Spirit moves, convincing me of sin, revealing Jesus through the Word, creating faith in him. But I know whom I have believed in, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day.
I know not how God's perfect love led to repentance of my sin, nor why he freely forgave me and planted Christ within. But I know whom I have believed in, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day.
I know not what of good or ill may be reserved for me, of weary ways or golden days before his face I see. But I know whom I have believed in, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day.
I know not when my Lord may come at night or noonday fair, nor if I walk the vale with him or meet him in the air. But I know whom I have believed in, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day.
Amen. It's personal. Salvation's not in groups. Salvation's not in families. It's not in churches. It's individual. You have to know for yourself Jesus. And you have to believe in Jesus. And praise God for probationary time for us to develop that personal one-on-one relationship with him. Dear ones, are there any further requests for songs? Any further testimonies that you'd like to bring forth? Prayer requests before we have closing prayer? Please go right ahead.
I do have something to share, but I won't share it. I'll send it in a text to you, all right? I'm going to bore you to death. It was about Alawa and the number 433. We might have different concordances with different definitions.
Oh, praise God for the Bible and the spirit of prophecy. Praise God for giving us the Spirit to lead and guide us. And what a wonderful day it will be when we can see eye to eye upon the straight, clear, narrow path that leads to eternal life, the truth from the face of our Lord God Jesus Christ. What a day that will be. Well, dear ones, who would like to offer closing prayer? Please go right ahead.
Father in heaven, thank you so much for this opportunity. I know we didn't read anything from Prophets and Kings, but sometimes things like this need to be talked through, studied over, considered. And I know one thing that comes out of this talking session is that above all, for us not to lose sight of what question will be asked in the judgment. What did we do with the commandments? And those commandments haven't changed. They're universal, they're moral, therefore our well-being. And you are mentioned in them. Jesus is mentioned in them. The Holy Spirit is mentioned in them. We can't do anything without the power of the heavenly trio. We need constant help. We realize there is an enemy, thanks to you. We realize there's an enemy and many under his dominion that are not even human. And they're so intelligent. We can talk about all their power, but what would be the point? They're just created. They are created. And that gives us a lot of hope to to the power that clearly omnipotence, omnipresence, omniscience, and omnibenevolence have on our behalf, and your way that you treat those very evil angels so fairly. One might even say more than fairly, full of mercy towards them as you are unto us. We cannot deny this. To do so will be denying your very existence. Thank you for letting us get to know something of your existence and the privilege of doing that with the law and the testimony and the same Holy Spirit that inspired what we don't have in the Bible, including the blessed ministry of Ellen G. White. Thank you for preservation in all areas. Speaking of preservation, please do that for Brother Dick and the multitudes where he lives and the surrounding. Tornadoes look so beautiful from a distance, but it must be tempting to be horrified what it's going to do over someone. And we're thankful that he, along with others, the family he lives with, including his dear brother John, have a shelter to go to. Please bless those shelters who've gone to the extent to prepare such things under these enormously difficult weather that kills people. Thank you for giving them time enough to know it's even there and not just springing up on them. Thank you for assuring us that no matter what happens, like your son as well, even if we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we do not have to fear evil. We do not have to fear that the devil is stronger than God when we're choosing God over the devil, over his character, over his evil attributes. Bless our brothers and sisters. And thank you for the transition we were able. I think some of us might have forgotten, but the change of time that we meet. Bless everyone who might not, for some reason, not know that when they meet, when brothers and sisters meet again online. And for those who aren't here, we think about Sister Lynn and Ma. We pray that all is well with them. We realize for some of them, including Joshua, that it is kind of late for them. It's not the ordinary time to be having a reading or a meeting necessarily, and certainly not hearing, speech going back and forth without reading anything specific from the prophets and kings that we're up to. But thank you for such privileges like this. And then Brother Bob said, may our research and homework continue, because truth doesn't change. And that's good news. What needs to change is errors we might be holding, terminologies that might be wrong, all sorts of other things. Not thinking like Jesus for a lack of faith. It's once been said, I think it's more than once, why do we keep sinning if we're to get victory? And it's because of a lack of faith. But if we have faith the size of a mustard seed, Jesus has promised that no matter what kind of a difficulty is before us, though it be the size of a mountain, which is enormous, it will be removed. We might even go through it and be left untarnished by selfishness and sin and the devil's leadership. Bless us as we part now. Thank you so much for the rich privileges that come from Sabbath. May blessings be upon every Sabbath observing keeper around the world that you intend for us as we give and yield our hearts to you to have your way and pleasure. In Jesus we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, dear brother. Is Brother Dick still here? Or is he still down in the basement? Oh,
yeah, yes. Something just came up here, and I was just trying to figure out which came first, Darius or Cyrus. And I got out my chronological Bible, but it's not like the first chronological Bible I had. It's for a PhD. The one I had was just print, all the various references, texts in the Bible, all put in chronological order, and I could go through it and find it. But this thing, it's something else. Anyway, what'd you want from me?
Until we meet again, keep looking up.
Keep looking up, thy God is still the same today. Keep looking up, he will not fail thee, come what may. Keep looking up, the darkest cloud will roll away. So do not doubt, but keep on looking.